What's up, y'all? It's 10 at 3, time at Tennessee. How are you? Hope you're doing well here on this Thursday, February the 19th, 2026. Wes Rucker and Lord of the Streams, Tom Barclay, coming to you right
howdy,
from WBIR World HQ, just a couple miles away from, of course, Food City Center, where last night the Tennessee men's basketball team picked up a big win over Oklahoma. Lady Vols hoping to follow suit. Boy, do they ever need a win. They're going to hope to get one of those tonight. They should. If they're not beating Texas A&M at home, then they got bigger problems. So we got a lot to talk about on this show today. Tom, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm actually doing very well. You know,
well rested.
Famously, earlier this week started Monday.
Yeah, Monday was one of the worst days.
It was hot dog water. Just felt grimy, so tired. Not bad. Just worn out, tired. This is the most tired I've ever been doing the show. And we got through it. It was fine.
You didn't, but that's it. You didn't look it.
It was not, internally, not a high energy performance on Monday. And I just thought, you know what? Even Tuesday, still a little bit tired. It was just, I don't know why. Just a long weekend, weird weeks
where I'm actually a little more energetic at the end of the week than I am at the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, you kind of start to hit the stride a little bit yesterday. Now feeling good to go because it is a big, big weekend coming up with. See the coverage. I think I'll be in still here in Knoxville on Friday to cover Tennessee and Kent State in baseball. That opener down there at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, which will hilariously first pitch 30 minutes after this show ends. So that's going to be quite the matriculation a couple miles away to get over there to Lindsey Nelson, hopefully for first pitch. We will see about that, hopefully. And then Saturday, wake up, and I think Elijah and I, birthday boy from yesterday, so hopefully he's well-rested too because he's not working today, didn't work yesterday, gets two days off for his birthday. What a selfish guy. I did last night post a picture of Elijah. I don't know if you saw it on the socials. Mm-hmm. I got a picture of Elijah crashing a little kid's birthday party and breaking open the pinata himself with a bat, and the kids crying, and I completely made the picture. But I like to have some good old fashioned fun AI pictures with Elijah sometimes, and had one last night on his birthday. There he is, right there.
Right here, let me pull this.
There's Elijah just in there. Hold on. In there, just having at it.
Oh, it would help if I have the. Do we have it?
There we go. There's Elijah just making all those little kids cry.
that comment in there is actually pretty.
Breaking open the pinata. We didn't throw a birthday party for him. So he went and did one himself. But no, seriously, Elijah, I hope you rested up because we are heading taking the war wagon just a couple of hours to the west for Tennessee Vanderbilt. Big game that is right there on Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, I believe, on ESPN. And then coming back that night and then probably covering the finale of Tennessee-Kent State on Sunday over there at Lindsey Nelson. And then, boom, back here Monday for another 10 at 3, another day just head
just
on
a
swivel.
New week. Yeah.
Head
new
on a
week,
swivel, waiting for the Aguilar
new possibilities,
stuff.
Yeah.
Waiting for the Aguilar stuff at any moment.
I mean, it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know.
It could
be a Saturday, actually. It'd be unlikely, but, you know, maybe.
That's true. I still thought that it would be this week. So, I had no basis for that. I mean, the judge basically said, hey, you know, I'm not ruling from the bench today, but it shouldn't take too long, but I'll – you know, we got lots to consider here. So I thought in my head, I was like, you know, the NFL draft's not too far away. I do think they kind of need some resolution on this, at least for now. Okay. So I thought by, you know, this week it would happen. And it still might. I mean, there's still the rest of this day. There's still all day tomorrow. A classic Friday afternoon news dump would be fitting in line with the way that things tend to go sometimes at public institutions in this country. So sure, that could happen, and when that does, we will obviously have news. If that happens live while we're on air, we'll talk all the way through it and figure out what to do. But we'll see what's going on there. That could happen anytime. So it is head on a swivel season. But I got a good pick me up today, Tom, because I give my wife a really hard time about how much she nerds out over school supplies still. Like when she...
How nerding out are we talking
about
here?
Like the point that if we are at a, you know, big box store going down, like, in, and we're like near the school sure. supplies aisle. We are 100% going down that aisle every time, and she's going to get something. And, you know, whether it's a new notepad, the new pen, the new this, new that. And she just, I mean, honestly, and she said, and I totally believe it, because she, I don't know if she ever got a B in her life all the way through college. I don't know if she ever did. She, like, get and admitted this to me, and she shouldn't have, because I'll use it against her forever, that it was like the most exciting part of her year every year as a kid was school supply shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And I had was
the,
like
the Lisa Frank, like the Folger, you know,
yeah,
so about?
The, yeah, and the Trapper Keeper,
like rainbow unicorn, oh, yes. all that stuff on it.
And, yeah. and he like, where even in college, like before semester starts, she would get so excited to go get some like new notebooks and stuff yeah. like that. and I was just like, you know, every time I did it, I was like, this is a cool pen, a cool folder, I guess, with my favorite baseball players on it. But that means school's starting again. And I don't love that, because I like it being outside and playing ball a lot better. And so there's a PSA for kids out there. And so I give her grief about this all the time. But I get so excited. I get so excited when a new shipment of my Portage Steno books comes in. Because let me tell okay. you will very rarely see me on this podcast wholeheartedly endorse anything. Because I, like Ron Swanson, do not really believe in public endorsements, right? What's that old, the old Ron Swanson, like, I only believe in, I think it was like, he's like a U.S. Army mustache trimmers, Morton Salt, and the C.R. Lawrence Fane 2-inch axe-style oscillating blade knife. Basically, he's like, these are the only things I'll endorse. I wholeheartedly endorse Portage Steno pads
okay.
and Zebra G350 pens.
Okay, I'll give you the Zebras, because I'm a big fan of a lot of the stuff
and
Zebra
I'll
puts out.
I'll tell
out
you
there,
why. You know why? You know why?
Pens and mechanical pencils they got. They're pretty good.
Listen to this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You hear the back of that? That sounds like you're knocking on a door. That's what that sounds like.
I'm a big fan of that my big yellow legal
back.
Pad, though.
And I
pads,
still,
I'm telling you.
Like for football, it's weird. For football, I still use, like for football, I've gone new school. And I keep my notes on the laptop and the tablet, you know, during games.
Mm-hmm.
But for baseball and for basketball, I have my own tried and true system of writing things down on steno pads mm-hmm. in like a shorthand that I can very easily reference. And I know exactly how I've written things, where they are, how to go find them, how to track the runs, how to track what kind of shot it was, where he shot it from. And these things are really helpful for filing games right on the horn. And I like having a hard paper copy of it. But I wonder, is it just because I will never give up my Portage Steno pads, which I used to get for free. I'm not complaining about the company here or anything, but I'm seriously not. But when my first newspaper job, that was the kind that, like the notepads that were always like in the office, like supply, you know, kiddie place or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I got to another place and they didn't have those. And I was like, this isn't good enough. And so since then I've gotten a steady supply of them shipped to my house. So that came in today, and that always puts me in a little bit of a good mood. So I might be every bit as nerdy as my wife with this, and I have just been projecting.
I'm
going to
be honest with
her.
You. I feel like you may be more of the stationary nerd in your household.
I think
household
you've seen her.
Point.
I don't know if you've really met her, because
probably
no,
not.
You cannot.
But I mean, we did just spend a good 5 minutes talking about a legal pad.
she is a statuesque 5'10" beauty made out of marble, but she is a nerd.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
is a nerd. And so yes, we there was so. Anyways, I'm happy to get my notepads in today, but that's good, because this right here, the notepad I'm holding now, is another one. And this is every show that we've ever done is right on this one. And there's not that many sheets left. So that tells you how many we've
all
done.
Right.
Well, I zoomed right past the 50th episode a few weeks ago and didn't say anything about it. But when we come up to the 100th one here in a few more weeks, we're going to have to mention that, because I honestly just forgot.
Throw a party for it.
Because I was going to say, by the way, guys, today was our 50th one or whatever, and just completely forgot about it. Until like there was 54, and then I was like,
that's
oh,
10 weeks of 10 at 3.
There you go. And I think there's a couple, like we've done, I think a couple of extra streams just here
true.
And there for fun. And,
true,
and,
true.
And I'll be honest, need to do more of those when I think we're missing opportunities. This is just me personally self-scouting. I think we're missing some opportunities to do some, some extra ones here and there just with big games and things that are going on. And that is 100% my fault, no one else's, because I need to get a little better with hitting the buttons over on this side so I can come in here and put some stuff down if we're like, hey, this is going to be a short one, 20 minutes, but we got to have something on this, you know, coming back from a game. So, again, that's my bad, no one else's. But we got a lot to discuss on this program today. Tennessee, as we mentioned last night, big win. Mm-hmm. And if you watched –
I mean, big win.
If you watched, oh, big win in a lot of ways.
And what, 33 points?
20, close. It was 26.
26 points.
Oh. And they ended the game on a 21-4 run, which was good for them to see. But if you, it's funny because if you look last night at the SEC basketball scores from last night, and it's like the old Sesame Street, like one of these things is not like the other. Every other SEC basketball game last night was a certified banger. It was every single one other than Tennessee-Oklahoma came down to like the final seconds. And Alabama and Arkansas played what I think was probably the game of the year in college basketball, 117-115 in double overtime. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas had a chance for a putback dunk at the buzzer of the wood, sent it to a third overtime, and but it hit the back of the iron on the putback dunk attempt. Did not go down. No foul called. Game over. What a basketball game that was with Darius Acuff Jr. putting up 49 points. Josh Hubbard was a one-man show again for Mississippi State against Auburn. And that game, Mississippi State had an 18-point lead. And then Auburn erased that and took a lead. And then Auburn led by 7 with like 6 minutes to go. And State came back and won. And that was... that was a wild game. Vanderbilt was down 21 points at Mizzou in the second half, fairly deep into the second half, and nearly lost the game. Vandy had an unbelievable comeback in the final few minutes, just a relentless performance, and hit a three with like 2.7, 2.9 seconds left, whatever it was, maybe 1.8 seconds. It was short. And that put it to 1 point. And then Mizzou does the whole thing where you just throw the ball to the other end of the court, which I think works better if there's less than a second left. If there's little more than a second left, you can sort of catch the ball, take a dribble, and fire it back the other way, right? And that's what Vandy did. And that three-quarter court shot missed by about 2 inches. Mm-hmm. It hit a part of the rim where if that shot's a little softer, it maybe goes down. That's how close it was. And again, I mean, you know, if a frog had wings, right? But unbelievable game that was. Because I'd given up on that game. We left the arena. We left the arena last night and we're like, we're fine. Like, this game's not worth watching. Let's go back onto the office and finish some stuff there. And I got back to the office and was like, wait, what? What just happened? And had to go back and watch it. That was insane. And then, you know, A&M was getting just run out of the building by Ole Miss, came back and won that game. Every game in the league was a banger.
Yeah.
Except for the one here, the Tennessee. Again, the dreaded double-digit Tennessee lead. Vols had a pretty comfortable lead, you know, midway through the first half, up by double digits. And I said, uh-oh, there's the dreaded double-digit lead.
Squandering in progress almost.
And it kept getting back down to 6-5 or whatever. And then, then Tennessee just really sort of authoritatively stamped on it at the end there and went down.
You love to see it, honestly.
You
love to see it.
And you'll hear this a little bit later in the show because we spoke with Nate Ament and Jacoby Gillespie afterward, and we'll hear from them in a minute. And that's like a good 5 or something minutes. And I don't like to make the video the videos that long, but they both, and I took a couple things out, but they had some really interesting questions to some really pertinent questions. And I just did not feel good cutting any of that out. And then rather than hearing from Rick Barnes, which we did, and he had a lot of really good things to say, and we might even play some of them tomorrow, we'll see. But Porter Moser, Oklahoma's coach, had a lot of really good things to say, and I'm not sure if we have time to get to it in this segment. Might just go ahead and play it at the very beginning of the next one.
We could probably get to it in this segment.
Well, okay, then we'll play it right now and listen in particular to what he says. Oklahoma, the last 5 games, was the most efficient offense in college basketball, or one of them, and Tennessee threw a wrench into that. And Porter Moser does not think that was Oklahoma. He thinks that was Tennessee. And remember, if you know this guy, if you think this name sounds familiar, it does. The Loyola Chicago coach when they upset Tennessee years ago. So there's some history there. But here last night, things did not go well for Porter Moser's team against the Tennessee Volunteers. And here's Oklahoma coach Porter Moser talking about that performance.
What led to the higher turnover numbers tonight?
Yeah. And it was what we just talked about. It's probably the biggest storyline, 31 points off turnovers. I thought they do an excellent job of just coming and grabbing the ball if you over dribble. And we over dribbled. We went too deep without making a simple pass, and they make you pay. Whether it was in transition, tapping it back, whether it was us going too deep, they do an outstanding job of converging on the ball, and you got to get it out of your hand, and we didn't. And you can't spot a team 31 points off turnovers and have that difference in offensive rebounding. I mean, those two storylines right there. We cut it. We had a chance to cut it to 5, I think, with 7:42, which is, you know, and we just obviously the not being able to get stops down the stretch and us, their defense down the stretch. But the other thing is the 5 spot between Carey, Okpara, and Brown. I think they had 38 points. Our 3-5 men had 0.
Similar question about you all's struggles on offense tonight. I believe the second fewest points in SEC play. Do you just chalk it up to the turnovers, or was there something else that you noticed that was giving y'all a hard time to score the ball?
Tennessee's uber physical. Their size and their toughness on their guards. I thought Gillespie and Boswell refused to get screened. I love that trait about those guys. That's a great trait. They refused to get screened. I thought they were uber physical. And then they had bigs. They could switch. The bigs could switch on ball screens, and I thought they did that. And it wasn't one of those nights where you said, oh, we just didn't make shots. I thought Tennessee forced us that. I thought they were more physical, and their length bothered us. And we turned it over. I mean, and all the turnovers led to baskets.
A lot is made of Nate Ament scoring, obviously, but yeah. How does he change the game with passing the ball?
Yeah, he's a multiple threat player. I mean, his length off the dribble, his length to shoot, he's got a mid-range game, and then I don't know how many assists he had tonight. But he obviously 3 assists, 1 steal, 29 points. I mean, he's terrific. I mean, he's all every bit as advertised. And, I didn't look at him as non-physical. I mean, I know Coach Barnes and their staff and being in this program, I mean, I thought he was physical. I thought he could take a bump on him and still score through contact. You know, I thought he scored through contact tonight. So just a tough matchup, and you can just see the kid's confidence going like this. Unfortunately, we added to that confidence.
You talked about Seidman being able to switch, but what Felix Okpara can do defending on the perimeter with his wingspan, how unique is that?
It's really unique. And then he's got discipline too. When you drive him, get to the basket, and you shot fake, he was staying down, waiting for it, and then he goes. He's just a phenomenal defender. With that length. So I thought, you know, immense length, his length, Carey's physicality. You know, he got such deep position. We're trying to release and get around him. And just a lot of weapons that they completely took advantage of us tonight. But, Opara's defense, just affects so much. And credit them. And we had been playing offensively very, very well. You know, the last 5 games, I think we're one of the top offensive efficiency teams in the country. They had that stat come out, and not tonight. And it was, I thought, Tennessee, it was Tennessee's defense.
You mentioned the physicality, but what did you see specifically that Tennessee was doing that took Xavier out of the game on offense?
I thought X was trying so hard that when you see the pressure, you got to get it out and then play on the weak side. So they were very physical with them. I love X. I thought, and he just, I thought their physicality and their length and then switching on the ball screens were all issues.
That was Oklahoma coach Porter Moser talking about Oklahoma's loss last night, 89-63 to Tennessee, where the Vols end the game on a 21-4 run, pick up what was really the only comfortable SEC win of the evening. And it felt comfortable in the final few minutes. Before that, a little more uncomfortable than you'd like it to be. We'll hear from a couple Tennessee players later discussing that. But I think bottom line is it ended in a good place for Tennessee. So without J.P. Estrella, that spread was 11.5. They went by 26 points. I think you call that a really good night at the office. And games last 40 minutes, and if there's some frustrations along the way, that is what it is. What matters is they get where they need to get, and that one got where it needed to get at the end. And I still think this team can play a lot better, which is something to consider moving forward. That's 7 wins in 8 games for these guys. The one loss was the one where they were crushing Kentucky, and then just it went the wrong way.
Went south.
Went the wrong way in a hurry. But we got a lot more to discuss about that game last night. Got some football stuff to discuss with some of the new coaches, new defensive coaches speaking to the media this morning here in Knoxville. We got a lot more to talk about, a bunch of things, but we're a little bit overdue for a break. So let's go ahead and get to that. And we'll be right back here on 10 at 3. It's always interesting deciding between, like, you know, because you would think most of the time Tennessee fans would rather hear from Rick Barnes about something, but I think there are nights where fans would sort of rather hear from a different voice. Like if the opposing coach, they want to know, like, so I hear my own coach talk about mm-hmm. this team all the time. I want to see what a coach who just saw them says about them.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And sometimes that can be really more illuminating in a lot of ways, because they're and Barnes is pretty good about this, you know, midway through the season and then at the end of every season, but midway through the season especially, and then maybe right before the tournament, I should say, they're really good at taking a step back and doing like a self-scout from the opposite side, where they'll go back and look at a bunch of the games and say, okay, if I'm an opposing coach getting ready to play my own team right now, how am I talking about you? How am I scouting this player? How am I scouting that player? You know, how am I telling, you know, I can attack you here mm-hmm. and I can give you a hard time here. You know, if these teams throw this kind of zone stuff at us, it might cause problems. Because last night, Oklahoma tried to press a couple different ways, a couple different times, mm-hmm. and drop back into some zone coverage. And it was throwing a lot of stuff at Tennessee, and Tennessee just kind of kept scoring. OU's defense, not great. And that's really why that
30
team
seconds
is not that great, you know, because they can score normally at a high, high clip. They're a very good three-point shooting team. They're a very explosive offense. As Porter Moser said, they had been, right? And Tennessee just kind of throws a wrench into that.
For sure, for sure. All right, we're 10 seconds away.
By the way, they did beat Vandy a couple last week, too, in Nashville. So throwing that out there. Welcome back to 10 at 3. Wes Rucker here with Tom Barclay, the Lord of the Streams, here at WBIR World Headquarters, World Super Duper Headquarters.
Universal Headquarters.
Worldwide, yeah. Universal Galactic Headquarters.
Actually, not literally universal. I guess that could be misconstrued, couldn't it?
It could be. But real universal, super
I
duper
mean, it is
universal.
NBC Universal, right?
It's, right.
Right. But we're not literally NBC or
that's
under
funny.
NBC
I get,
Universal.
I get so yeah. confused. And I mean, I say this in jest, but really it's the truth. Sometimes I forget exactly which corporation owns whichever corporation I'm working for at the time.
Well, just remember, like, just think, like, back to 30 Rock, you know, the episodes with Jack, you know.
Yeah, because the company I was at before, yeah, it got GE bought like three times in like 5 years. And I was like, wait, who is this yeah. this time? Who's the owner today? What am I supposed to say? You know, is there something I'm supposed to be careful of here?
You're supposed to say what comes to your heart. That's what
that. And you know what? Problematically for me sometimes, that's exactly what I do. So there's, listen, I'm a team player with people in my own building. There are times where above me I get in a little bit of trouble. Not here, and I'm hoping to move past that those phases of my career when I would just be like, you know what, I don't care, the man, I'm coming after you. Now I just kind of say, this is what I think, and if it bothers you, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to bother you, but you know, hey, we say what we think. You do not have to agree with me. I do not make that a requirement at all. But you will always know what I think. You will always know what I think because I am not smart enough to hide it. I'm not, and I don't care to. I think transparency is the only way for us. I think as close to full transparency as you can be. And I've said this many times, and I offer this as a PSA now and then. If we want the people that we cover to be open, accountable, honest, candid, why do we not expect the same of ourselves? That's even if people don't care, and a lot don't, and I don't blame them, don't care what about us or who we are or what we're doing. We're just kind of grist in the mill, and that's fine. That I don't take that personally. You know, if somebody else stepped in and did my job, you'd still follow that person because that's the team that you know, they cover the teams that you want to see. It's not about us. I only do it, and I try to emphasize this. I only do it. I don't even care about myself. I don't, really. I'm not sure anybody in my own house cares about me at times, if I'm being honest. But, or what I think. They care about my existence, not what I think. But I'm just trying to be the example that you want to set in the world, right? Do not be a hypocrite. My parents did not raise hypocrites, and we don't abide by that. We don't tolerate it. There was a lot in that game last night, Oklahoma-Tennessee, that I thought was impressive. I thought, and this is what's wild, I spent a lot of that game being pretty impressed with what I saw from Oklahoma on the glass. I thought, especially in the first half, they did a nice job keeping Tennessee from just massacring them on the offensive glass, because Tennessee just bullies people on the offensive glass. And maybe that's because Tennessee shot really well, and so it didn't have a lot of misses to go collect. But this just puts into perspective what Tennessee tends to do on the glass. I was fairly impressed with Oklahoma last night on the glass. Final total rebounding, Tennessee 36, Oklahoma 19. They almost doubled up another opponent on the glass, and I thought that opponent did a reasonably good job for a significant portion of the game. And Tennessee did that, need I remind you, without one of its best rebounders, JP Estrella, who was often the team's best rebounder, 6'11", 240-pound sophomore forward, didn't play. He didn't play. Guys, he did not play. And Tennessee almost doubled up Oklahoma on the glass. These guys are bullies. They are bullies. They have length. They have physicality. They have tenacity on the glass. 1 through 5, they'll go get the ball if they need to. I mean, everybody pretty much except Gillespie kind of crashes the glass at times. And the way that, I don't know if people appreciate this enough because, again, what we see from teams all the time, sometimes you take for granted things that a team does well because you just expect it. It doesn't make you a bad fan. Doesn't make you a bad person. In life, right? Like if your spouse or if, you know, you're one of your parents or your kid or anybody, you're one of your best friends, consistently does something for you or consistently does something that helps your life, you become accustomed to that happening. And you do take it for granted because you're like, oh, well, that's happening. That's, you know, and we all have examples of this in our life. Taking something for granted does not make you a bad person or even make you someone who's doing a bad thing unless you realize it, you know it, and you don't care. That's when it becomes a little more problematic. But what I mean here is Tennessee really, really, really crashes the offensive glass. Tennessee also doesn't give up a ton of transition fast break points. And when you think about the combination of those two things, that's not easy to do. Because everybody who goes to crash the offensive glass is somebody who ain't getting back to stop a transition defense. And right now, the pace at which these games are played, if Tennessee had committed live ball turnovers last night, and we're going to put a pin in that because they didn't, if Tennessee had gotten lazy getting back or had turned the ball over, Oklahoma can be lethal in transition. Those guys push it. They got shooters. They'll play four or five guards. They can score it. And so, and if you think about this, you got five guys on the floor. For every guy who goes to attack the offensive glass, that's somebody who ain't getting back. So when people talk about the things Tennessee does that you think a lot of times, like, where's the dynamism on this team? Where's the production coming from? Where's this? What's that? How are they pretty decent? When you look at the numbers sometimes and you go, how is this happening? It's because there's little things like that that they just do. And not a lot of people can do this. You got to give to get. In sports, in life, you have to give to get. And sometimes Tennessee's able to get the cake and eat it too. And that is something that requires length, athleticism, motor, desire, all those things. And those are little things Tennessee does that Barnes teams tend to do that they're not the sexiest thing, but other coaches and other players who aren't at Tennessee will tell you how good it is because they play a lot of teams and Tennessee gives you some unique challenges that others don't. So, yes, I'm as frustrated as anyone sometimes when I think they could be doing a little bit more offensively, when I think they could have another shooter on the floor, when I think they could be a little less selective on offense to give the players a little more confidence. There are things like Okpara and Estrella shooting threes from the top of the key. That was happening at the beginning of the season. It ain't happening now. And if they would just occasionally take that shot, it would open up, in my opinion, it would open up the floor a lot more offensively. There are things that I wish were better. We are all like this, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there are things they do, and that's one of them. To go attack the glass like that and to not get crushed the other way. That's why I keep saying, guys, what Tennessee does on the glass, what Tennessee is showing, it's getting back to this level of defensive intensity that it needs to have. Jacoby Gillespie, a program record, 8 steals in the game last night. Phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. Felix Okpara, not going to see many, if any, better defensive 5 men in the country. At 6'11", to do all the things he could do, do I need to remind you what Porter Moser just said? There are things, if this team will just not turn it over too much. Everybody turns it over some. That's life. It happens. If they can just be reasonable there, and if they can just be reasonable at the free throw line, what were they last night? 18 of 25, I believe. That is, let's see, I got my numbers right here. 72%. That's not perfect, but you'll take it. That's okay. That's okay. If they will have games, well, they'll turn it over like last night just 7 times. They turned it over just 7 times, guys. 7 times. That's it. And they shot 72% from the free throw line. And they darn near scored 90 points. It's not like they took 70, 80 shots. Took 63. 5 of 18 from 3, not great. But it's why I keep saying about this team that I think it's a frustrating team a lot of the year. It's been a frustrating team. I get it. I get it. It looks like it's not quite there. It's not quite what you want it to be. And I'm right there with you. But the thing about this team, it could lose in the first round of the tournament. Absolutely could. Absolutely could. But if it will just be decent at the free throw line and take decent care of the basketball, the way it rebounds, the way it can play defense, it can still beat just about anybody. The problem comes when Tennessee plays a team that can be physically as tough or tougher than Tennessee. Because teams that can do that and shoot the ball a little bit, Tennessee's offense is not great. It's okay. It's good. It really is. It's like top 25 good. It's not great. It's got a couple great players in Gillespie and Amen, a couple of great offensive players. And I think Estrella is a pretty darn decent offensive big man. But they're not great there. So if you're a team like Illinois, like Florida, like Houston last year, and maybe Houston again this year in a rematch, we would see. But a team that can out-physical Tennessee, that also can maybe shoot a little better in Tennessee, that's the nightmare matchup. That's the one that you don't want to see. So if you're Tennessee, you don't want to play Florida, and I don't think you want to play Illinois. Because Illinois, if you remember that game in Nashville, Tennessee pushed Illinois around in the first half, pushed them around good, destroyed them on the glass, did things that people don't usually do to Illinois. And Illinois has a very good basketball coach and some very good players who went in there at the halftime, went there in the locker room. I'm guessing they got read the riot act. I'm guessing some leaders on that team or a coach dug into those guys, a little bit of a spur into them, and they came out there and just assaulted Tennessee in the second half. And in a way that people don't do very often at all against Tennessee teams under Rick Barnes. But even those teams can lose to anybody, and Tennessee could beat those teams. It's just that's the matchup that those are the matchups I don't like. And then there's the ever-present danger of a team that shoots a billion threes having a day where they make them and you just three count more than two. And that's a danger. That's danger zone. That's Kenny Loggins' danger zone. But I think the thing about this team is if it does things that I think it's capable of doing at a reasonable level, then all the things that it does at a very high level make it a very, very hard team to beat. And that's why I have never written off this season, and I'm probably not going to unless like two or three guys get hurt. Because in Nate Ament, they got a guy who can score on anybody at any time. In Gillespie, they got a guy who, hey, he's had a couple moments late in games that weren't great. We've covered that exhaustively at this point. But he's also been statistically one of the best all-around point guards in college basketball this season, and that's what the numbers tell you. So they've got some guys who can do that. Estrella's had some big games. Okpara last night, fantastic game, just doing basic things that he can do at a very high level. And they can shoot better than they did last night. We've seen it. We've all seen it. So, yes, I'm not sitting here and telling you this team doesn't have a chance. I have never believed that. I have always seen potentially a top 10-plus team in this bunch. I have said that all year, and I'll say it again now. Because of that, because of the things they can do, the things they consistently do at a high level, give them an opportunity to where it really widens the margin for error in a game. And it means they don't have to be perfect in other ways. They can't be bad. But if they're just okay in those ways, the things they can do should be able to translate to any gym in America. And that's why I see what they're doing here. I see it. And I think it's got the potential to be a very, very good basketball team down the stretch. I don't know if it will. It could go Nashville on Saturday could be bad. Vandy is going to be mad at the world after losing a couple games the past couple weeks. That team plays a style that can give Tennessee problems. It's a dynamic team. It's a team that can score from a lot of places. It's a team that, you know, gives people a hard time in Nashville, Tennessee in particular. Sometimes it goes there and Vandy just has they're just hard to beat. We'll see how much orange gets in the building because both fan bases are going to want to be there. So, I mean, yeah, but that won't change my mind about this team because I still think big picture, neutral floor, late in the year, there's things that they do that I really like. And we've got to get to it right now because we've got to get to this stuff with Nate Ament and with Jacoby Gillespie, and we'll get to those things when we come back right here on 10 at 3. I think this could be one of those days where we have to boot football to the next day. I think there's so much meat on the bones here with this basketball team right now. Yeah. And again,
plus we had a lot of sound from the defensive coaches there today. And just plenty to talk about.
There's plenty to parse over and you know, tomorrow, try to get some stuff cut up for the show tomorrow. I know that like the new defensive football coaches, that is a big deal. That is a very big deal. But, and again, I don't try to let my personal opinion on things that I think are important or not important at the time they're important. We don't tell people that. The people can tell us that by what they want to watch and what they want to read and what they want to hear. They're the ones who inform us on that. Sometimes we're like, hey, no, you need to know this anyway. So we think the public needs to know this and we're telling you this. But oftentimes, you know, what you're trying to do is give people what they want. And I know that they're going to want this information on this brand new defensive staff. I know they're going to want it. But I also think spring practice has not even started yet. Yeah. And even then,
it's a fair thing to say there. You know,
I don't get jazzed about spring football. Yeah. I just don't. And I know
it's
where I live.
It's just the situation the football program's in.
I know. For me, but it's always been like that, even if they're number one in the country. Sure. Like, for me, it's just like there are other sports that are playing right now, not 6 months from now.
30.
And, you know, it's like fall baseball or summer basketball. Like, it's like I don't care yet. And that's not fair because I'm not saying I don't care. I'm saying I care a lot less than I care about the sports that are actually happening in the season. But still, we'll get to that tomorrow. It is important. It is important.
For sure.
Welcome on back to 10 at 3. Wes Rucker and Tom Barclay coming to you here from WBIR World Universal Super Duper Galactic HQ right here, just a couple miles away from Food City Center, where last night Tennessee took care of Oklahoma rather demonstrably down the stretch, I might add, 89-66. The Lady Vols also playing tonight. I think I want to make sure I got this right. I think it's 6:30 on the tip tonight, 6:30 Eastern. Yes, it is on SEC Network Plus. And the Lady Vols, I believe, are 21.5-point favorites was the last I saw. A&M's 10-11 overall, 3-9 in SEC play. Lady Vols, as miserable as things have been lately, it feels like they have been anyway, they're right there, 16-8 overall, 8-4 in the SEC. Schedule's not too bad down the stretch, I don't think. Yeah, they're fighting for a double bye in the league tournament still. I mean, they're still kind of that dog could still hunt. So let's see. I mean, we got a lot of questions about that. All of us do. I'm sure they have them in the building about themselves at this point as well. Some things they need to get cleaned up in a hurry. But, you know, hey, this is a good eat your vegetables kind of night for them. Get better. It's what you might call a get right game. A get right game. Get it right. Just feel better. Go out there. Hit some shots. Run your stuff. Go fast pace. Put it on them if you can. Get to feeling better. It wouldn't fix everything at all, but it wouldn't hurt. Go out there and start feeling good about yourself again. Speaking to people who probably feel good about themselves today, Nate Ament with another 29-point performance last night for Tennessee. He's just kind of ho-hum, quietly putting up near 30 all the time now. And it's for a kid, it tells you how good he is that he can put up these 25 to 29-point games, and you just kind of, you're like, no, that's what he should do. No need to go crazy about that. That's what kind of player he is. And Rick Barnes said, by the way, it was in January of his freshman season in college when Kevin Durant took things to a new level, just like Nate Ament started doing in January this year. And Kevin Durant's one of the biggest reasons why Nate Ament came to Tennessee, played for Rick Barnes because he wanted to play for Kevin Durant. That's the player whose game he models himself after. Was the same thing for Dalton Knecht, by the way. And I hope that Nate Amen doesn't have as many social media burners as Kevin Durant might have, as we've been seeing from this the past few days. It's he is extremely online for a 40-year-old professional basketball player. He is extremely online all the time, and that burner stuff, if they can prove that, oh, man, there's some interesting stuff going on there. If we were in a professional sports market, the fun we would be having with that right now. It's a college sports market, so we're only making a few references to it, and I wonder, we could ask Rick Barnes about it, and I'm sure we will, but he'll probably be like, I don't know what's going on there. And he might really not, for all I know. He might really not know. I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. You know who Kevin Durant will not be criticizing in potential burner DMs is Rick Barnes. They are very, very close, very, very close. But Jacoby Gillespie, Tennessee senior point guard, also big night last night for the Greenville native, the Knoxville area native, the East Tennessee native, puts up, what was it? I want to make sure I get this right. I don't want to go off the bounce here. 16 points, 8 assists, 8 steals, 1 block shot, only 1 turnover, 3 rebounds. Quite a performance for Jacoby Gillespie last night. Also led the team in plus minus at a plus minus of plus 24 during his minutes out there. So these guys played really well last night. We talked to them after the game. We'll talk about it more afterwards. But for now, let's hear it from the two stars themselves. Here are Tennessee stars Nate Ament and Jacoby Gillespie. Heads up at the beginning, the first 15, 20 seconds, some of the cameras moving around a little bit. Don't worry, it gets better. And the audio was important enough to keep. So here are Tennessee's two stars.
Nate, just 7, as a team, just 7 turnovers tonight. What do you feel like was the difference for y'all there? And what can this team be offensively if y'all take care of basketball like that?
Y'all saw what we can be if we take care of the ball. And I think just for us is also just learning how to be aggressive, but also learn how to be smart, take care of the ball. Coach says all the time, we play super hard, but we're not the smartest team. So for us, it's just learning how to be smart and also be aggressive.
Nate, are you going to be able to get to 30 points this season?
I don't know. I don't think I want to.
What was working so well for you today?
My team is refining me. I think it was just, you know, me getting to my spots, raising up and shooting, a lot of that. For the most part, that's pretty much it.
Jacoby, what are you looking for when you're looking for a steal, and what was working well tonight?
I was really gambling a lot. My teammates had my back, but I would say just like if they're looking straight at the rim, not even worry about who's in the gap, just going and getting it instead of staying on my own man. So kind of helping my teammates.
Nate, Ben already said it. I'm in the back. You know, that 29 points has kind of been that sticking point for you right now. But just talk about, you know, as of late, the past month, you getting going, getting to that point. But is there a reason why 30 points has just kind of been stubborn for you?
I don't really know. I mean, the last couple of times I had 29, I missed a couple free throws. Today I missed a couple layups, but I made all my free throws, so I can live with 29 if I make all my free throws.
Nate, it seemed like you had some pretty big passes there when the game got really close in the second half. How big of a part of your game is that, and how do you kind of balance when you're looking to pass from the top of the key, when you're looking to shoot? Like, what do you look for, and how do you decide that?
I think when you get going and you're making shots and stuff like that, the defense is going to have to adjust to you. So for me, it's staying aggressive, trying to find my own shot, but then also I'm taller than a lot of defenders I'm playing, so I can see over them. And when someone's open, I just, you know, got to find the open man.
Jacoby in the back here. Clarence Swearingen, Kennedy Chandler, they've had 7 steals. They never did what you did tonight. For you to be at the top of the Tennessee steals list, just what does that mean to you as a Tennessee kid?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely special just to be in the history books here. Hopefully it lasts long, but it's definitely special, and especially because I'm from here.
Nate, what did y'all do defensively tonight? Oklahoma was as hot as anybody offensively in the country. What do you feel y'all did to hold them to 66 tonight?
We knew that, or coach told us during scout, in their wins they score 90 points, and in their loss they score around 70. So for us, it's just limit them, you know, defensively. We really had a defensive mindset coming into this game, and that's got to stick with us. Just focus on the defense, and then the offense will take care of itself.
Scobie, what led to y'all limiting turnovers tonight?
We were just focused on getting a shot and running good offense every possession, making every possession count. So, but yeah, I feel like we were just all really locked in on that part.
Jacoby, kind of building off of that, specifically for you, what do you feel like has changed in terms of how you're seeing the floor and limiting turnovers over the past, you know, a couple weeks, maybe month?
I feel like just slowing down, trying to read the game more, knowing what my teammates want and what they don't. So just kind of, yeah, just reading the game.
Jacoby, Rick's been harping to you about using your mid-range game more the last several weeks. Do you feel like you're reaching a point to where it kind of comes natural and you're not having to think to yourself, okay, I need to use my mid-range game?
Yeah, I think so. I've been working on it in practice, so I feel like, yeah, I know when to shoot it and when not to shoot it.
Jacoby, I saw you told the SEC Network you felt like tonight was the most connected y'all have been all year. Why did you feel like that was the case?
I just feel like we were talking a lot more in the huddles, and when they came back in the second half, like with 7 minutes left, we usually let them keep coming back, and it's a close game. But tonight we were able to put our foot back on the gas and grow the lead more.
Jacoby, I'm sure you're familiar with the Tennessee-Vanderbilt rivalry, especially being over in Nashville for a couple of years growing up here. Are you excited to play in that rivalry on Saturday, and what do you think is going to be key for y'all?
Yeah, I'm super excited just to play in Tennessee. I feel like, I heard it's like orange and then black, like half and half, so that'll be exciting. And I feel like our biggest key would be like what we did tonight, taking care of the ball, really guarding on defense, and just getting a shot every time, and I feel like we'll win.
Question for both guys. I know that clearly, you know, getting ahead by double digits, having that go the wrong way a couple times, it's not something you want to experience, but the fact that y'all have experienced it, you've kind of gotten better in those situations at fighting back. Is that something you can learn from, or is that just basketball being basketball?
I mean, I think, well, we definitely can learn from it. Like, there's been plenty of times we're up double digits in the first half, and the team comes back, and that's not really a coincidence. We tend to let up and, you know, stop being so aggressive. But, I mean, credit to all the teams in this league. When you're up double digits, no one's going to lay down. So, for us, it's just keeping that pressure on them, putting our foot on their neck, and kind of finishing the job.
That was Tennessee stars Jacoby Gillespie and Nate Ament speaking after last night's 89-66 win for the Vols over Oklahoma. Just down the way there, Riverside at Food City Center. And there's a lot of good stuff in that. And I like that just right off the rip, you had Nate Ament saying, well, you know, Coach Barnes tells us all the time we're hard workers, but we're not very smart as a team, so we got to get smarter. He just the way that he will deconstruct things and just chop you down to size, it's a skill that man has to be able to keep things grounded and to also to give guys a little pick me up when they need it, like a coach does. But also, he's behind his guys, he defends them, but it doesn't mean that he's going to go out there and praise them all the time. He, and especially to them, he gets a very. Never problematic, but he definitely gets you down to size. And I thought the very final quote there from Ament too, when he candidly admitted that yes, it's not a coincidence that a lot of these double digit leads have gone away because we've let our foot off the gas. And I say this all the time, there's a fine line between using the scoreboard as an ally and putting and just doing too much. It's a fine line there. And Tennessee's got to find that line, because you do want to use the clock as your friend in those situations. But as many threes as teams can put up, as fast as teams go now, it's a different game. And this is getting to be a little more NBA style with some of these swings in games with the runs and stuff. So you just have to... They've responded, but again, you'd like to think that it wouldn't happen to even put them in the position where they had to do that. So there's a lot going on there, a lot more to parse over, a lot more to discuss tomorrow. We'll have a Lady Vols game to break down. We'll have baseball, softball to preview. Well, gosh knows what's going on with Aguilar. We'll have that. A lot to talk about, and we will talk about as much of it as we can in 1 hour, but our hour today is done, so we will see you in about 23 hours.